Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us on this beautiful Monday morning in March, the first Monday in March. It seemed like it was just January. Oh, my God. Things are just rolling along. Well, I hope you're hanging in there. Hope everything's going well for you. And, you know, it's the first Monday of the month, and we're on the home front talking mortgages this morning with Jabir Najeer. Jabir, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today, Gretchen?
I'm okay. Just kind of keeping an eye out on things. Speaking of which, apparently there's a couple of cases of the virus in Tampa now, the coronavirus, and it's kind of affecting, from what I understand, the rates of the mortgages or mortgages in general. Can you talk a little bit about that this morning?
Yes, there's been a lot of changes in the market last time I spoke, and a lot of it has to do with the coronavirus. It's actually shaken up the U.S. market quite a bit due to the concern of the spreading of the virus, and as a result, if you've been watching actually any finance channel, you probably heard that market has taken quite a dip over the last couple of business days. And as a result, normally whenever the market has a dip, the rates actually drop as well. So If you, although, you know, don't get me wrong, we don't like to hear about the coronavirus. It's definitely not a good thing that is going around. It has resulted in a positive for those who are in the housing market, or even for those who are current homeowners, that the rates have dropped, that they can take advantage of those lower interest rates. So if you are currently looking for a home, maybe you've been pre-approved by your broker or banker, there's a good chance that same home that you're looking at now, if you have not locked that interest rate in, that payment on that home would be lower. Or if you possibly had your eyes set on a home that was a little bit outside of the price range that you're looking at now, you may be able to qualify for that home for a lower payment that will allow you to qualify.
So, Jabir, can you kind of help me understand the correlation between this virus and mortgage rates? Because I'm still trying to say, okay, what does that really one have to do really with the other? Is it that people are, and this is my theory, okay, is it that people are just kind of being more cautious and watchful and therefore may not be jumping on home purchases right now? Or what would you say?
Well,
is it a stimulus? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Right. No, it's definitely not a stimulus, but the mortgage rates are connected to the financial markets. So Anything that happens in the financial markets is going to ultimately affect interest rates, especially if there's a big jump in either direction in the financial markets. So normally if the stock market is rallying and you're having a great day in the stock market and you have a portfolio that your portfolio is performing well for the day or the week, there is a very high chance. It's not always, you know, etched in stone this way, but for the most part, if the U.S. markets are rallying, the stock markets are rallying, the interest rates are probably possibly going up as well. But then when the U.S. markets decline due to any type of natural disaster, hurricanes, earthquakes, in this case, it's the coronavirus, normally there's a lot less confidence in the stock market, and you'll normally see that people start to pull their money out of the markets because they don't know how this coronavirus is going to affect the whole U.S. market as a whole. So I was actually watching something the other day, and they say certain stocks like Netflix and Peloton, the Inside Bike, I'm sorry, I'm all of a sudden a blank mind, but stuff that has to do with inside the home, those stocks have been up, but anything that has to do with outside the home, those stocks are going down because people are more concerned about catching the virus. So you're not going to be, for the most part, and hopefully it doesn't spread, but if it does spread, you're going to see a lot less people out. So those stocks that would probably require people to be outside to take advantage of those services are going to decline. And whenever there's less confidence in the U.S. market, normally the cost of money declines in order to stimulate savings. I'm sorry, to stimulate borrowing. So I don't want to call it a stimulus package because that's definitely not what it is. But normally rates will drop in order for people to borrow money whenever the economy is not doing as great. And that's the concern right now.
Yes, I was asking how far down do you think these mortgage rates can possibly dip?
Now, that is the million-dollar question. So every expert has a different opinion on it. Some believe that it could actually go, drop a little lower. Some believe that this is the lowest that we're going to get. And even if it does drop a little bit lower, there may not be a very big difference in the payments. So you have to really look at what your goals are, or have realistic goals, I should say. So that is whenever you have to get in contact with your mortgage broker or your banker to see, okay, if you currently qualify for a 3.25 and you really want that 3%, how much will your payment drop? And for some people, depending on the size of your home or your loan amount, that may be a $10 to $20 difference, or it could be a $60 difference. It just depends on your loan amount. So you have to decide, is it worth the gamble to wait it out longer if you're currently in a contract or if you're looking to refinance your home to save $10 to $20? Because let's just say that they find a vaccine extremely quickly, and all these gains that you received in your interest rate would pretty much be wiped out pretty quickly. Because whenever rates increase, they tend to increase fast but drop slow. So you really have to decide what the realistic goal, your interest rate goal would be. And one of the big things is the payment. Are you comfortable with the payment? Because a lot of times we get caught up in what your interest rate is. And don't get me wrong, interest rate is a number that determines the amount that the money that your loan will cost you. But it's just interest rate. You don't want to get caught up too much in the interest rate, but and as I said, it is important, but just make sure you're comfortable with the payment, because if you start to change this interest rate too far, you may miss your golden chance, maybe now, maybe within the next couple of weeks, but we don't expect this coronavirus to last forever. We hope that they do find a vaccine quickly, which most likely will turn this market around pretty quickly and your interest rate will go back up.
Okay. One of the things you kind of mentioned briefly as you were talking was about disasters. And I did come across something in terms of talking about disasters with this woman that she was, trying to recover from Hurricane Irma in Gainesville in 2017. This was a Wall Street Journal article I think I shared with you. And she was working, this woman was working with some clients as a home health aide. She was, and some of her clients got displaced. So, some of her business kind of dwindled, and she called for her mortgage company for help. The mortgage company told her not to worry. She could skip her payments for 90 days. But then 3 months later, when she called, she learned that she was being foreclosed on. So talk a little bit about surviving disasters of that nature or even maybe something with the coronavirus that might cause some changes in certain professions. So can you talk a little bit about how to handle your mortgage in case a disaster occurs and, you know, you, for whatever reason, whether it's something that happened to your home or your job, how to really, is there a way to work with a mortgage company?
Yeah, most mortgage companies, especially when it comes to natural disasters, most mortgage companies are willing to work with you some way or in some type of fashion. In regards to the Wall Street Journal article that you mentioned, one of the biggest things that I would definitely emphasize to anybody who is facing a natural disaster or any type of hardship in their home is to get everything in writing. A lot of times, either on the other side, they don't input everything correctly with the representative you're speaking with, or you don't get anything in writing, so you have no way to back up your claim when you say that somebody on the line agreed to certain terms to help you out. And then even if you have a name, the way that things work nowadays, if you have a big mortgage company that you're with, you may not ever be able to get in contact with that representative again. And sometimes people leave the job, so now it's your word against the other person. So it's extremely, extremely important that once you get off the phone with that person, they agree to help you with the hardship that you may be going through, is to get something in writing. That way, if something comes up, you have it in writing that your mortgage company agreed to these terms, and you held to those terms for those days or 90 days that they gave you to help with your hardship that you may be going through. So it will help you prevent any type of situation like that specific lady you're speaking about, who she had to hire an attorney, and even though she was able to keep her home, I think it cost her $7,000 in order to keep her home, where she has something in writing, I'm pretty sure that would help to skip a lot of the legal process that she went through. But one of the big things, especially with the last hurricane that came through in 2017 that you were referring to, I know a lot of people who took advantage of that hardship, but a lot of mortgage companies are allowing those homeowners to take 90 days off their mortgage. But the problem is that after 90 days, that full payment was due for those 90 days and you didn't have to make a payment. So if you went through hardship and you weren't able to work or you were not working full time for those 90 days, that means you weren't paid. So once that 91st day comes around and the mortgage company asks for those 90 days of payment, you probably didn't have that money if you weren't working to make the payment monthly. So it's not a good chance. There's a smaller chance that you have that money all available on the 91st day to pay those 3 months prior, plus that fourth month that's due on the 91st day. So it's very important to understand the terms of your agreement and try to negotiate longer terms. So a lot of people who are a little bit more familiar with the process, they may have requested that the mortgage company place those three payments to the end of their mortgage. So let's just say your hardship started in October, you just resume normal payments in January as if nothing happened. And then those three payments that you didn't make, that was placed to the end of the mortgage. So you have to worry about that whenever that come, whether it's 10, 20, or 30 years from now.
Okay. I mean, because I know a lot of people that have probably gone through the same thing as this lady, you know, whether it was the disaster or back, you know, a while back when we had the foreclosures and stuff like that, and people were having trouble, you know, keeping up with their mortgages and stuff, and, you know, we're getting, like you said, verbal agreements and not necessarily getting them in writing, and it's crucial that those agreements are done in writing for sure. So we're going to take a quick break. We're talking about mortgages today on the home front with Jabir Najir of Rajan Mortgage. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions for Jabir, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We'll be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you. caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Argonauts. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Good morning and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are on the home front this first Monday in March on G's Power Hour, and we're talking with Jabir Najeer about the mortgages and the link to the coronavirus, and also how to handle your mortgage if you are having financial problems, a disaster happens, or some personal issue happens. Make sure you get whatever agreement you're getting in writing. You mentioned earlier, too, about mortgages and their link to the financial markets, that, you know, and that's partially why we're, because of the financial markets being a little bit volatile right now, because of kind of why you're seeing a little bit of the decrease in the mortgage rates. Can you talk a little bit about the mortgages and how they're linked to Treasury? Jabir? Oh, my goodness.
Oh, sorry. Can you go.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, so, I heard your question. Sorry about that. So, yeah, there's actually 6 main factors that drive home loan rates, and those 6 factors are economic data, inflationary pressure, the stock market, the Federal Reserve, geopolitics, and other global events, you know, such as, for example, natural disasters, as we were speaking about earlier. So, whenever you have anything that is good for the world, it's typically bad for bonds. And anything that is bad for the world is typically good for bonds. So normally we would normally watch the 10-year treasury bond in most cases. And once you see that bond goes up, which typically means that people are pulling their money out of the market and put it into bonds, they consider it to be safer as they figure out what's going on in the market. Once those bonds start to go up, then the interest rates tend to go down. So they are tied to each other, but I use that very loosely because there are other factors that may cause sometimes the bonds to go up and the rates to go up at the same time. But for the most part, when the treasury bond goes up, and the mortgage interest rates go down. And as I said, the reason that is because of those other factors that we just mentioned. So, 6 are, you know, when it comes to, China, the U.S. has been having a lot of trade discussions with China, or even when we're dealing with North Korea, those tend to not be very good for our economy. When you start to talk, possibly put tariffs on our goods, which may increase prices in the U.S., then typically the market would have a concern for that, the stock market, which would cause the bonds to go up, and as a result, interest rates go down. Just look at the recession back in 2008. Once the recession hit, it was bad for the economy. So typically, the stock market went down. People started putting their money into bonds, and as a result, the interest rates went down. So whenever things start to really go good within the U.S. economy, then things turn around. Then no real true push for people to borrow money, because people are borrowing money. The economy is doing good. So if you increase the interest rates a little bit, people are still going to borrow money. So the banks are still going to make money off of borrowing. So, in a nutshell, that's the, without going too deep into the numbers there, that's in a nutshell, that's how, if you're watching the market, If anything is going good within the market, rates will tend to go up. If things are going bad, people take money out of the stock market, put it into bonds, and rates will go down. So they typically go in opposite directions of each other.
I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about mortgage when it comes to purchasing a new home from a builder. A lot of times, me as a realtor usually will try to ask buyer that I'm working with to try to go ahead and get pre-approved through, you know, a lender, whether or not it's a brand new home or a pre-existing home. So a lot of times, though, when you go to a new home builder, they kind of want you to they try to, I guess, offer incentives to use a mortgage company that they already work with or have in-house. In terms of doing that, is it better to already have gotten pre-approved from someone prior to going in to make sure that maybe you're getting a competitive rate, or what? How should someone prepare for something like that if they decide to shift gears and buy a new home versus an existing home and work with a different mortgage company?
Yes, no, I definitely would suggest that you are pre-approved by another bank or broker prior to going in to look at that new home. And the reason is that a lot of times when homeowners or buyers, I should say, they go to these builders, they have no idea what they're pre-approved for, assuming that they haven't talked to somebody before. They have no idea what they're pre-approved for. They have no idea what is out in the market, what their interest rate should be. They just know they saw a house that they really like and they want to get into it for a certain payment. And a lot of times if they go in there and they don't get into it, into that home for that payment they have in mind, once you actually stand in the home, especially the model home, if the other home isn't built yet, if it's a home to be built, you're touring the home, you're seeing your home, you're starting to imagine yourself in the home. You start to see, you know, the spouse and the kids around. You start to see that. So all of a sudden, if you had a certain price point in mind, just you touching the home, now you're willing to go up $100, $200. I've seen people willing to go up $500 on their payment just because now they're able to touch it. It just becomes so real. So once you sit down with that lender or that builder's lender, you're not even really paying attention to the interest rate anymore. You're just paying attention to how can I get into this home at what, you know, it's almost a by any means necessary once you're actually right in those builders and in that builder's neighborhood. So then they throw something at you like $10,000 in incentives, or not even incentive, just towards your closing costs. But the reason I say it's important to have a quote from an outside lender is so you can actually compare the fees, because sometimes they may give you $10,000 towards your closing costs, but you're also paying a higher rate than what you were offered somewhere else. So when it comes to mortgage, you have what you call a qualifying rate, and you're always able from any bank is willing to contribute towards your interest rate, towards your closing costs, as long as you're willing to accept a higher interest rate, and they'll give you a rebate towards your closing costs. Every bank does this. Nothing special about any bank. If they tell you that, it's not true. Any bank is willing to give you a higher rate, and in exchange for that, they'll give you funds to contribute towards your closing costs. And in opposite of that, they're willing to give you a lower interest rate if you're willing to what they call buy down the rate or pay discount points to buy down the rate. So you're always able to get a lower, higher rate than what you qualify for. Is just a matter of if you would like to pay upfront for it or if you like to get a rebate from the bank. So I say all that just to make sure that whenever you're looking at the lenders, the builder's lender's good faith estimate or loan estimate, that you're aware of what fees are actually charging that may not be normal fees. Sometimes they eat up that $10,000 that they were going to give to you towards your closing costs by charging application fees and underwriting fees and processing fees and processing two fees. And there's all kinds of extra fees that easily eat up a couple thousand dollars of your closing costs that they were given to you. And then on top of that, you have a higher interest rate. So now your monthly payment is higher than if you were to go to another lender. So that's whenever it comes to comparing apples to apples, a lot of times people are really not comparing apples to apples when to actually, if, assume that they even went to look at another lender, they're not comparing apples to apples because that lender is giving you something totally different because they kind of sold it as a package that you're really getting more than what you really are, because at the end of the day, you're really paying for it through the higher interest rate. So they may give you $10,000 towards your closing costs today, but over the course of time, based on the higher interest rate they gave you, you may be paying $30,000 extra in interest, maybe $4,000 extra in interest, depending on the loan amount, over the course of the 30 years.
Okay. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, there is a chance that, for that, sometimes somebody may come to me and they've already looked at a builder, and builder says, hey, we'll give you $10,000 towards your closing costs. I may not be able to do the same thing and match it right. I may be able to only give $7,000, for example, or $6,000. But the cost from going through us is much less. So that builder may have an additional $4,000 worth of cost or $3,000 worth of cost. So if you're just looking at the number saying I could give you $7,000, they could give you $10,000, you have to really look at the numbers and really focus on what are you bringing to the table. And that's probably where I should have probably really summed it up to say what you should look for is your cash to the table. Don't pay too much attention to how much you're giving towards your closing costs. What is your interest rate? What is your payment? And what's your cash to the table? And when you come to us or any other lender, then you could compare our interest rate, our payment, and our cash to the table. And we may have the same interest rate and payment, but your cash to the table may be lower. Or we may have the same cash to the table as them, but your payment is lower because we're able to offer the same thing with a lower interest rate. So that's really we have to really get down into the numbers. And if you need help, hopefully you could go to an independent person outside of the two lenders that are competing for your business, whether it's your agent or just another independent banker. Maybe even go to your bank, a trusted banker at the bank that you've been banking to for years, and just ask them to look at the two different good faith, and they should be able to point out the difference between the two for you. Or if you're already working with two different lenders and you want me to take a look at it, I'll take a look at it for you at no cost at all. Because I do run across every once in a while that somebody may come to me, and I've actually told a buyer 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they were already working with their bank. They just wanted me to take a look at it, and I was honest with her. I told her that she's getting a really good deal. Like, I could match it, but she was already so far into the process that it didn't even make sense for me to pull her out of that situation. She was honestly getting a good deal.
Okay. And I'm glad it dawned on me to ask you about that because I just, you know, a lot of times when realtors, when we take a buyer to a builder, a lot of times we kind of get left out of the process, or the process starts going along without us before we can catch our buyer and say, hey, you know, just make sure you're asking these particular questions or you're doing some comparative shopping to make sure that you're actually getting a good deal with what they offer you in terms of an incentive, whether it's a mortgage or whether it's closing costs or whether it's upgrades or whatever. You want to make sure that you're actually getting your money's worth and you're getting the best deal for you. I believe, like you said, just going with a pre-approval already, you have something to compare things with. So that's so important. We're going to take a quick break. We're on the home front. You had something else you wanted to add before we take a break?
Well, yeah, really, really quick. Try to make it 30 seconds or less here. Another thing not to be scared of is having your credit reviewed in order to get an initial pre-approval. A lot of times clients are a little scared to have their credit checked because they don't want to have a ding on their credit. And having one credit inquiry or even two doesn't hurt your credit. So when you have excessive credit inquiries on your credit report, that helps you go into whatever situation prepared. If not, you're going into the home buying process almost with a blindfold on. And when somebody offers you the first deal and they tell you that you're approved, sometimes you're just so excited and you don't go to check anywhere else. So, yes, that's just what I was going to throw in there really quick, is that it's just very, very important to have at least one, maybe even two people review your scenario so you know what you're actually up against, what the market is currently offering, so you're not going into the home buying process, especially if you're going to go speak with a builder, at least you know what the market is currently offering.
Okay. Now we're going to take a quick break, but he's not going anywhere. He's still going to be here. So this is G's Power Hour. I never had a so good entertainment. We're on the home front on this first Monday in March with Jabir Nadir of Rajon Mortgage. If you have questions, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I never had a so good entertainment. We'll be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
This is Douglas Dobbs, owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had a so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, this first Monday in March. Boy, the year is flying. And we are here with Jabir Nadir on the home front talking about mortgages. And also, by the way, one of the things we talked about earlier was the link between the mortgage rates dipping and the coronavirus. And there came news, I believe it was this morning, that there's some cases reported in Tampa. So just everyone kind of be careful, watch out for each other and for yourselves. I understand one of the suggestions is to extend your hand washing period. I think they say you're supposed to sing Mary Had a Little Lamb or something while you're washing your hands. Well, they're saying do it twice while you're washing your hands just to make sure that, you know, you're clean and not passing along or catching anything. So just be careful, be safe, and let's keep everybody in prayer that that this doesn't spread any further and everybody has a full recovery. But anyway, like I said, we are back. We are here talking with Jabir about the mortgage rates. Is there anything else? Well, I know one of the things I wanted to ask you is if, you know, a lot of times we tell people, okay, if you bring more money to the table, then the more you put down, the lower your, I guess, your, not your mortgage rate, but your mortgage payment will be. But does the money that you bring to the table, does that also have an effect on the rate too?
Yes, especially if you're going down to another loan to value, commonly referred to as LTV. So when we speak mortgages, we look at the loan-to-value increments of 5%. So basically from 60, for example, 60 to 64%, 65 to 70, 69%, 70 to 74%, and so on, except when you get into the higher percentage with conventional, then there's a 95% and then a 97%. So what that means is that if we're financing 97% of the loan, that means you're putting down 3%. If we're financing 95%, that means you're putting down 5%, and so on. Once you drop down to the next bracket, especially with conventional, then interest rate drops, and your mortgage insurance that you pay with conventional will also drop as well with every 5% that you put down. Until you get down to 80, then there's no mortgage insurance with conventional if you are putting down 20%, or if you're refinancing, if you have at least 20% equity in your property. Now, when it comes to FHA, it's a little different. It's 3.5% because FHA will finance 96.5%. And then after you put down 5%, then the mortgage insurance drops, but it stays the same from 95% down to 5%. It doesn't matter. Now, with conventional, the interest rate tends to change a lot faster than with FHA, when you put down more money. So if you're putting down 5% more or enough to bring you down to the next bracket, then yes, it would affect your interest rate. Now, when it comes to putting money, extra money down, then yes, you also have to look at how much is it really changing your payment. Because sometimes we have clients that say, oh, you know, they'll put another $2,000 towards the mortgage, expecting their payment to drop sometimes a couple hundred dollars. We have to keep in mind is that you're borrowing this $200,000, this $300,000, this $400,000 over the course of 30 years. So putting an additional $2,000 is a very small thing to the overall payment over the course of 30 years, assuming it's a 30-year mortgage, over the course of 30 years, because let's say you have a $300,000 mortgage, paying $298 over 30 years versus $300,000 over 30 years, you're not going to have a very big drop in your monthly payment. So before you put down that extra money, then just ask your mortgage professional to just run the numbers with the additional down payment. And then you can decide if there's something that you would like to do or not. For certain people, they would like to. For others, they may say, you know what, that extra $2,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 isn't worth it. They just rather keep that money in their pocket for their safety net. Especially every once in a while, we run across those that may be taking all of their savings to put towards their down payment, that if they could save the extra $2,000 to $3,000 or $4,000, then they prefer to do that for a rainy day as opposed to leaving their bank accounts totally depleted for their down payment.
We're here with Jabir Najeer on the home front, this talking mortgages on G's Power Hour. The number is 516-387-1944. Good time to ask him any questions. If you're considering purchasing a home or refi, this is a very, very good time to refinance, too. I wanted to ask you, too, now we keep talking about mortgages when it comes to home purchases. Are the rates changing when it comes to investment property as well? Because usually those rates are a little higher than the residential interest rates. But are there any changes with those as well?
Yes. Typically, the rates across all programs tend to slide down at the same rate for the most part.
Evenly. Okay.
So when you're looking at a primary residence, if you're looking at investment property, the investment property will never be as low as the primary residence. But if primary residence rates are dropping, then investment property rates will be dropping as well too. Now, those rates don't move as fast when it comes to, we've talked about it in the past, what we call our non-QM programs or our portfolio programs. And these are those that are not, you know, your FHA, your conventional, your VA or USDA programs. So with those lenders, rates do change, but they don't change as quickly as your conforming loan programs. Sometimes if there's a couple of changes to the market in one day, then there'll be a couple different changes to the interest rates with conventional or FHA financing. When it comes to those other programs, and for those who may not have been listening to us from the past when we talked about those, we talked about programs that for those who cannot qualify based on their W-2 income because they may be self-employed and they write off a lot of expenses on their taxes. So their tax returns don't show that they make a lot of money, even though they really have that income coming in. So the banks do know that these are valuable borrowers who deserve to own homes. If there's a way for them to prove their money through other means, then we'll allow them to purchase a home. And that's where you have your programs. If you're self-employed, all you have to do is show us the deposits in your bank account. We don't care about seeing your W-2s, 1099, your tax returns. We just look at bank deposits, and we could qualify off of those. Now, those programs, those rates don't change as often as the interest rates with Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, VA, FHA, USDA, and those other programs.
Mm-hmm.
But they do drop. They just don't drop as fast. But, yes, when it comes to the other programs, you know, those programs, the rates would change depending on market and the down payment a lot quicker.
Okay. So, let's see. you actually, I was going to ask you something else in relation, but you actually answered that. So anyway, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is commercial. I know we talked about investment, but commercial is a little bit different, isn't it?
Yes, with commercial, and that's not the area that I necessarily specialize in, even though I do a little bit of commercial. But yes, with commercial, there's two type of commercial programs. And that would be for those who are owner-occupied. And
mm-hmm.
when you're looking, and when we say owner-occupied, that means that your business actually owns the
building.
Owns the building that you're operating under. So they're definitely going to look into more so your personal income. And when I say your personal income, your business income, just to make sure the business, if you're looking to purchase a property, just to make sure the business
mm-hmm.
has the income coming in to sustain the expenses. And if you're looking to move into a totally different area, let's just say that you're moving to a different part of the city. Let's just say you have, whether it's that you have a restaurant or a certain service that caters to a certain area of town. If you move to another area of town, the bank is going to be concerned if the business will do as well in that area of town. Let's say, for example, you had a pest control company. Well, that's a little different because, for the most part, clients are not coming to your place of business. You're going to those clients' homes to take care of the pest control. So that's totally, totally different as opposed to if you have a restaurant or, you know, a daycare and you have a 10-year history. And let's say you're talking about Central Florida in Winter Garden and all of a sudden you're going to move to Biflo. Well, there's a very small chance, if any chance, that those parents are bringing their children to you in Biflo. So that will be the bank's concern. And typically you're going to need a larger down payment with SBA financing. You can get in with as little as 10% down. And they may have a program for a little less, but for a lot of the programs, they're looking at least 20%. Now, I mentioned owner-occupied versus investor. So there are those who will purchase a building that has tenants on there. Say, for example, you see a strip mall that has individual businesses, four or five. Sometimes they have 10 businesses in there. Well,
right.
In that case, what the lender is really looking at is the rent roll to see what those tenants are paying and also what your expenses are. So with those tenants and the rent that they're paying, are they in charge of their own utilities or is the owner of the building in charge of the utilities? So the lender is going to look into those things just to make sure that in commercial they have what they call a debt to service ratio, as opposed to debt to income ratio. And they just want to make sure that, and every lender has a different number. So certain lenders may just require that you're getting 10% more income than your expenses. Some may require that you're receiving 25% more income than your expenses, than your mortgage expenses, just to cover other expenses that may go on with the building as far as repair, security, you know, landscaping, all those other things, insurance. Those are the things that the lender is going to be looking into whenever you're looking at a commercial property.
And I know that's not necessarily your area that you cover mostly, but I thank you for talking about that because I was just thinking that, you know, with people considering either making a home purchase or, you know, refinancing, that they also may be considering, you know, maybe I have a home-based business that I'd like to actually, you know, get a brick-and-mortar place for or either, like you said, you know, find something that is like a strip center that has several businesses already existing in it and wanting to purchase that as a commercial business. I just kind of wanted to touch on that a little bit as well. So I thank you. We are going to take a quick break. We are here on the home front with Jabir Nabajir. This is G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. We're talking mortgages today. If you have a question, the number is 516-387-1944, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs.
owner and funeral director at Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community with two generations of family funeral service. With the recent addition of my son Brandon, we are here to take care of the needs of Central and West Orlando. From simple cremation to a full burial, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here to help you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Hi, I'm Gretchen Dimp Simmons with Farrell Realty, but you know me as G from G's Power Hour. Much of the time when I'm not engaging with you on my show, I'm dealing in real estate in beautiful Central Florida. But because I'm here, that doesn't mean I can't help you wherever you are. So if you're looking to buy, invest, relocate, rent, or sell, please give me a call at 407-968-9387. That's 407-968-9387, and let me help you with your real estate needs.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today, this first Monday in March. We're on the home front. We're here with Jabir Nadir of Ryerjohn Mortgage. And like we were talking earlier, you know, unfortunately, we've got to watch this outbreak with this coronavirus spreading to different places, including most recently Tampa that I saw. And I haven't checked on it in the past couple of hours, but, you know, just everybody be careful. But at the same time, it is impacting the mortgage rates and might be a time to consider a refi or a new home purchase or even some investment purchasing because it's just, you know, but the other unfortunate thing, too, in some cases, the inventory is not there. So you've got to just kind of pick and choose and kind of be ready to pounce if you see something that catches your eye. So I did want to, I'm going to shift gears again. It's one of those days. And I wanted to ask about anyone who is interested in getting into your business. You know, I know we've got a growing number of people getting into real estate. So I just have to assume that you're seeing somewhat of the same with the mortgage field. Is that correct?
Yes, but I really feel like I see a lot more realtors join than mortgage brokers.
Yeah, probably.
And I just remember, don't get me wrong, the mortgage industry, we have a lot of new brokers that have, you know, come into the industry over the course of the last couple of years. But I just think about when I first got into business in 2004, where everybody was getting into the mortgage business. I mean, it didn't matter if you're cashing out at the person at Starbucks or the maintenance guy, like everybody was somehow connected to the mortgage industry. I just feel like that is where it is when it comes to the real estate side. And I believe that it may be due to a lot more regulations when it comes to mortgages than there were in the past. But I do know, you know, due to the current administration, I do know that there has been some things that kind of loosened up a little bit, which has allowed people to it makes it a little easier for people to work underneath another company's license, which I just remember whenever I got into the business, the company that I started with before I was licensed allowed me to work underneath their license until I got my own individual license. So I think that makes it easier to get into the business now. And with a lot of the programs loosening up, I think that a lot more people will probably end up getting into the mortgage industry because it's not as, I could say, complicated when it comes to the programs anymore. There's a lot of lenders that are creating new programs for almost anybody to get into it. So it is a little bit of a concern because it just reminds me of where we were back in 2004, 2005, right before everything started to come down, maybe in 2007, 2008, where these riskier loans were being offered to buyers and to current homeowners. So, you know, the good thing is that there, you know, due to Dodd-Frank, there are a lot of things that were put in place that has not been removed in order to protect those who are purchasing their primary residence. But when it comes to the investment properties, yeah, there's a lot of things that are loosened up now. with the no income verification, the stated programs, a lot of that stuff has come back into the market, which makes it easier for somebody who may not be, you know, that great of a mortgage broker just to say, you know, we'll just put you in these stated programs and no income verification programs, because there's almost no documentation needed for those programs.
You know, when you say that, I get a little bit worried just because, and I can appreciate, you know, loosening up things for some folks, but at the same time, some of this stuff is some of the same stuff I saw before the housing market took a tumble the last time. And a lot of people were left, you know, they got these new mortgages and everything, and then if they had an adjustable rate, well, hopefully everybody's getting fixed rate right now, but if they had an adjustable rate, it was to their detriment a little bit. And then they had all of these, I guess, creative ways of getting people into homes through various mortgages. And that's kind of when I hear things about, you know, not having to verify a lot of stuff, it kind of, I don't know, it unsettles me a little bit as a realtor, because I just, like I said, this is a lot of the same stuff that I saw back then. So is it different, though? Is it even if they're loosening up, is it still a little bit more stringent than before?
Yes, it's definitely nowhere close to where it was back then, and I don't think that it'll ever get that loose again, but I can see that people are definitely pushing up against the line a lot more than they were before. Before, there's the black and white area, and then everybody was scared to even touch into the gray area. Then they started touching to the light gray area. Now it's like middle gray, and a couple of them may even start touching and, you know, walking into like the dark gray area. And when I say, I'm not talking about legal and illegal, it's just more so, how far can we push these programs and still stay within the regulations? And then with certain regulations dropping, then it actually kind of knocks down walls that people could take a couple steps over a little bit more to the left or right to get people into these programs. So it's, you know, I just remember back when I first started, we had a lender that offered what they called a reference letter program. And in order to prove your income, you just get three people. They could be friends. We couldn't call them friends. They had to be clients. But there is no real way to truly verify your relationship with them. And you get three friends that say, yes, Gretchen is a, you know, it's a pianist, and she gives me piano lessons. And then you tell me how much you make. You know, you don't have to verify. You just get three people to write a letter. You just tell me how much you make, and that's the income that we use. And it sounds so crazy, because I remember when I first got into the business, I think I was literally maybe 3 weeks into the business, and I remember going to my manager and saying, why would any bank provide this program? And he asked me if I was compelled. Like, I'm not complaining. I just don't understand why any lender would, you know, allow this program. It doesn't even make sense. And this is just a young me in the business. And, yes, it didn't make sense. Obviously, we saw where that came tumbling down. So it's never – I shouldn't say never, but I don't see it ever getting that loose again. But a lot of the regulations that were put in were really placed to really, really protect homeowners for their primary residence. But when it comes to investment properties, they do require a larger down payment from those investors, but there's not a lot of stuff to protect the investors when it comes to the lenders. So a lot of times there are certain lenders that will offer these programs, but it's strictly for investment properties. If you tell them that you're buying as a primary residence, they will not lend you that money at all. There's no negotiations around it, because the regulations would not allow you to get a no income verification or stated loan on an investment property. I mean, I'm sorry, on a primary residence. So that, for that reason, I see where we're not putting people into primary residences where they possibly can't afford that mortgage 2, 3, 4 years from now, where before it didn't matter. You could make minimum wage and buy a $300,000 home because the loan program didn't really require lenders to verify that you're in a profession that actually will support the payment of that home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to take your word on that, because you know what I'm talking about, and my thing is not, I truly believe everybody should have an opportunity to own their own home if it's possible, but I think it has to be gone about the right way, and you know, you don't want to end up with all of those, you know, you don't want to be a victim of foreclosure, you just don't, you know, and so if there's any way to kind of slow the roll on it a little bit where it does not impact people in the way that it did before, then I'm all for it, you know, but, you know.
You just have to borrow responsibly. Just because you could qualify for a certain mortgage doesn't necessarily mean you have to get that certain mortgage. And with rates dropping, yes, you could get a larger home for the same payment you're getting on a smaller home a month ago. But if you're really comfortable with that home, just look at it as a bonus. Now you get that same home at a lower payment. You don't actually have to say, okay, well, I was looking for a payment of this. Now this payment can give me more home. And what that helps with is that even if it's $100, whether it's $50, $150, whatever it is, if things do get tough, there are times that we all would look back at where we took on certain obligations, long-term liabilities, and, you know, maybe we wish that we saved that $50 or $100 or $200, where it may not seem like that much now. You just never know where the future holds. So the main thing when borrowing has a primary resident, homeowner, just borrow responsibly. For the investors, one thing that I would definitely have them keep in mind, especially when you're purchasing homes that are for those who may be at a certain income bracket, is you really have to pay attention to the market, because that same person that is able to afford that, whatever that payment would be, whether it's $2,000 plus payment, that person, if things really get tight, they're going to move out and look for a cheaper home. And now you got to find somebody that is able to afford the higher mortgage payment. And there's people who have investment properties that are payments in the $2,000, $3,000, and sometimes even $4,000, because they just see this as being a big home that they could probably cash in later on, and they're really hoping for the tenant to pay this rent. But whenever you get into those price ranges, the pool of people who afford it are much less.
Okay. Jabir, thank you again. Any last advice as we're heading into the spring, in a few weeks?
Yes, if you have not filed your taxes, or if you have filed your taxes, one of the best things I could tell you to do right now is just hold on to that money for your down payment. Don't go, if you don't need that new car, I know you've been looking at that new car, that new watch, that vacation. This would be a great year to purchase a home with the lower interest rates. I know we talked a lot about between rates and market and where things are going, but one of the biggest things is, even if the market, regardless of what happens in the market, if you're able to get a loan at almost, I don't want to call it freak, it is a loan that will cost you money, definitely lock in a loan with these lower interest rates. You'll be happy in the long term. And then once you lock in the interest rate, just imagine that you're paying that higher rate if you can, and make the higher payments what it would have been on a higher interest rate, because take advantage of the fact that the cost of the money is so low, so you can put that extra money towards paying off your principal. So if you're looking into a 30-year mortgage, now that 30-year mortgage may quickly turn to a 25 or 22-year mortgage, so you'll be mortgage-free a lot quicker. So definitely take advantage of these low interest rates, because you can pay off your home in a lot faster than 30 years, which you may have in mind.
Especially if you're close to retirement age, please keep that in mind.
Yes, extremely big.
Thanks, Jabir. Really appreciate the help. Have a blessed day.
You do the same, and thanks for having me again.
Okay, talk to you soon. And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Have a very blessed day. I will be posting Jabir's information and Rajon Mortgage on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. If you want to advertise, or you have a subject that you want us to talk about on G's Power Hour, just go to the G's Power Hour Facebook page and let me know. And like I said, have a blessed day, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.